Well, good morning. It's awesome to be with you guys. Some of you Afrikaans well will realize that I'm actually originally from, I've been born in Oukip, in the Makwa land, close to Springbok. How many of you know where that is? So I'm actually an Makwa lander, and therefore my accent is a little bit different. And so 20 years ago, I could not speak one word English. I could only say yes and no and hello and goodbye and when are we going to eat? So I could never, I had an F for Afrikaans, which means it's F stands for fantastic. If I had an F for Afrikaans, then you must know where my English is. So I God told me to preach in English, and I said, it's going to be a disaster. And he says, yes, I know, we're going to laugh a lot. And so just to give you a good introduction, when I start preaching English in Barberton, in the Lowveld, I said to the people, those of you who know Afrikaans, you know there's one word for root, a wortel, and a carrot, and a wortel is een woord. Julle weet mis waarvan ek praat. It's only one word, so I wanted to say to people, tonight we're going to deal with the root, but I said, tonight we're going to deal with the carrot. And we're going to pull that carrot out. We had a lot of fun, but so we still sometimes have fun. I cuss I didn't know I was cussing in Tulsa, Oklahoma, preaching in a big conference. I used the F word twice, and the guy who organized the conference, he go like this, oh God, Jesus, help us. And but I wanted to talk about the fuckers. You know, Meet the Fockers, that movie. I wanted to use it as an illustration, and I say we're all a bunch of fuckers. And we have trust issues. And then I realized what I was saying. I heard this one lady say, did I hear him right? Bertie Britt says he thought a vein burst in his head. He was in that conference, you know, but anyway, then I explained it to the people. So anything can come out of my mouth, and I didn't plan it, I promise you. So be prepared. We're going to have fun today. I love God. I love Jesus. I love the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, my beautiful wife, Kathy, is here. She's the queen, and I just love her so much. She's a woman of faith, and she backed me up and everything, and I'm so appreciate her. So this morning, I've been traveling from Nelspruit all through Calvinia and all those places, and we had such a wonderful time. This morning, it started off with a vision that I had earlier this week, and I couldn't understand it, and I was asking the Father several times, what are you trying to say to me through this vision? And I'm going to try my best to explain it, and I'm going to take my sermon from there. So I hope I'm going to do it right. Sometimes I struggle to explain things, and that's the way that the Father speaks to me a lot in visions. But I saw a tree with fruit on, and the fruit were almost ripe. It's how many of you seen the orange? It's like green orange, and then you know it's almost ripe. I saw a tree like that, and the wind, and it's like a wind came and blew fruit off from this tree, and the tree was just standing there. And I said, Father, what are you trying to say to me? And I can connect it to a lot of things. And then this morning when we were driving out here from Malmesbury, I was praying and praying, and that vision come up in my heart again. And the Father said to me, this is what happened with some of us as children of God. Just as we are ready to receive the promise or to walk into the fullness that He got for us, just as the fruit is almost ripe, we lose focus because of storms and trouble in this life that come against us, and we get caught up in the storm, or we get caught up in the trouble in this life, and then we lose focus. And He wants us to stay in peace and stay in hope and stay in the grace that He got for us. Doesn't matter what happened. Remember, Jesus say, in this world you will have trouble. We can't avoid that, isn't it true? But take heart, I've overcome the world. And this morning I want to speak, and I don't want to take it from there. And maybe you are out there and you struggle with things, and it felt like, man, just as I'm going to receive the promise, let's say healing, let's say finances, let's say your life purpose, it doesn't matter. it felt like every time you're almost there, it's just like fruit fell from the tree. You know, there's something missing. And I want to encourage you through this message, which I call walking in the substance of faith. And I'm not preaching a faith sermon. I'm a grace guy. I've been introduced by grace through Arthur Menkes to the message of grace in 1996. And this morning, I just want to say to you, it's so important. I'm a very practical guy. And when I'm talking about practical, for me, it's really important to hear God's voice. For me, it's really important that I do nothing unless it comes up in my heart. I really practice the reality of Jesus saying, I do nothing unless my Father shows me. The Son can do nothing unless the Father shows. That's really important. It's an exciting life. It's an exciting journey. How many of you agree with me on that? It's so wonderful to hear the Lord's voice. It's so wonderful when you hear His voice, you begin to walk it out and you see things happen, miracles happen. People are healed. People are delivered. You see provision. You just see amazing. People change by the message of grace. I love that so much. And I've discovered that in general, the body of Christ struggle to hear God's voice. And sometimes there is trouble in this life that is interfering with what God is saying, and then we lose focus, just like this tree that I explained to you. So I just want to make some statements this morning as we go through here. I heard a guy say a while ago, he got a very big church, and he made a statement, and he says, we have to take responsibility for our life. Our lives. I have a problem with that. And I'm trying to explain it to you. By that I'm not saying you must not go to work, not study, all that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when it comes in your spiritual walk. It's all about being led by the Spirit of God. It's all about resting in Him. It's all about hearing God's voice. Because the moment that you say, now I'm going to take responsibility for my life, I'm going to change things, I'm going to fix things from here on, I will live a better life, you are actually on the edge of falling out of grace into the law again. You got to understand, when it comes to the kingdom of God, we are led by the Spirit of God. It's so important. And you already have the substance in you. That's why the Bible say in Hebrews 11, 1, it say, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. I believe that that substance is Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's what I honestly believe. And my faith is flowing from that. And that this is the one thing that we as the Christian belief can say, which is so much more radical, more powerful than any other religion out in the world, is that our God is dwelling in us. He's living in us. We are in Him and He is in us. Isn't that amazing? Thank you for enthusiasm, like Andrew Womack. You may sit down now. So, but Andrew Womack always say that. But reality check is that this is so amazing. God is living in you. The same man who is risen from the dead, seated on the right hand of the Father, He's dwelling in you through the Spirit. And that makes you a very peculiar, extraordinary person in this life, in this world. And you can make an impact. And this morning in Stellenbosch, well, other churches is going to, I'm in one of the most powerful places ever, because each one of you sitting here have the resurrection power, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you. It makes you so much different than anybody else in this world. Amen. So talking about substance this morning is that the problem with the fact that I'm going to take responsibility for my life is that when trouble come, you are in trouble in that moment. And the last 6 months in the United States, from last year July up till January, the Father was really taking me on a journey of just resting in Him, waiting on Him. Every time I say, okay, God, this is really looking terrible now. You got to change the situation. I'm stressed out. Then He would say to me, rest. and that's all that I heard for 6 months. Rest. You know, even Kathy would get in the mornings, get out of the house and go to work, and she would say, rest. That's what the Father say to you. So, and sometimes if resting is not just something that you, you know, you lay around, but resting is to rest in what He has already done for us. We rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus has already done it for you. The finished work of the cross is a reality. Right now in the Spirit is everything that you need. Everything that you need. deliverance, healing, provision, whatever it is, it's already provided for you this morning. Amen. So, let's go on here. I'm just starting off here. Tell the person next to you, it's going to get better. Okay, right. I'm just feeling the audience and I'm scanning the crowd to see if there's anybody who knows me from my past. I'm joking. Anyway. All right. Okay, let's go on here. Here's three verses that I want to use now. And I'm going to read them and we're going to take it from there. The first verse is in Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3. And I love this because this verse says, God at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us, say us, by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of the glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And I will come back to that verse. The next verse I want to read to you is Hebrews 3:7. He says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Amen. And then the third one I want to give you is a well-known verse. Do not be carried about in various and strange doctrines. Let your heart be established by grace, or let your heart be established by grace. So the reality is that faith is flowing from the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is in us. We are sons in this world. We are sons of God. We share in the inheritance of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you, it's so amazing to understand. While we were worshiping here this morning, I saw Jesus standing in front of me, and He said to me, "Jesus, He said to me, Peter, I'm pointing you to the Father because we are the same, me and you." For some of you, it would be a little bit difficult, that one. He says, "We are the same. You have the same spirit. We are created in the same image." He says, "I'm pointing you to the Father." The same man who walked on the water, raised the dead, multiplied the bread, is dwelling inside of you. It says a lot. I just want to talk through this. You have substance in you today. It doesn't matter what is coming up against you in this world. It doesn't matter what voices is speaking to you. You agree with me this morning that pain got a voice. If you have pain in your body, it got a voice. It's loud. It speaks loud. But you know what? If you understand, if you have an understanding, I'm not talking about head knowledge. I'm talking about understanding, because understanding is heart, is on heart level. And your heart, you cannot live above the condition of your heart. Jesus used that word for the first time. That word is kardia in the Greeks. Kar means center and source, and dia means to act from. So it's the center and source where you act from. It's not, people used to say in the past, I give my heart to Jesus. No, you did not. He gave you His life. I love what Ezekiel say, and He will take the heart of stone out of you, and He will give you a heart of flesh, and He will put His spirit inside of you. That's just my translation. But what is amazing about it, that heart of stone represents the law. That's what it represents. How many of you remember that the law was written on stone? When you come to Jesus, you are so full of law, man, and it's worldly, and the whole world, the elementary principle of the world is, if you are good, you are blessed. If you are bad, you are punished. That's the elementary principle of the world. Your heart is so full of that on every level when you come to Christ, that He take that out and He give you a heart of flesh, which is a naked heart in the original Greek, which means innocence. He gave you an innocent heart at that moment. The problem is you go to church after that. That's the problem. And then your innocence is gone. You ask yourself, well, I remember I feel so good. What happened to that? I was so alert to God. What happened to that? They just begin to establish the law back into your heart. But it's not happening in this church. Amen. So praise God for that. And your heart is, you cannot live above the condition of your heart. Proverbs says, above all else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. Paul say, Paul say, with the heart we believe unto righteousness. So your heart is where everything comes together. All your beliefs, all your emotions and thoughts. It's the seed of affection. That which really affects your life is in your heart. And you, your heart, you are today, and don't fall apart now. Your heart today, your life that you live today, is the result of what you've believed up to now. Okay? But the good news is, the good news has the power unto salvation. Not the ticket out of hell to go to heaven. You're going to end up in heaven, but my point is, it saves you. Sozo or soteria is the Greek word. It saves you from whatever is wrong in your heart. The good news got the power. It is the power to set you free from something is going to happen in the future and come to the understanding, it's done. I got it. It's mine. I am what He says I am. Amen. I have what He says. Are you with me? I'm living in that place. And that's what the power of the gospel is. So don't fall out of the simplicity of the gospel. Amen. Here's the thing is, I wrote a book, and I need to print this book. I wrote a book, Free from a World of Condemnation. And tonight I will show you the root why people don't really receive from God and why people struggle with this. But Moses, the thing about Moses is Moses gave people the law written on stone. In other words, he pointed them to a stone. He pointed them to ink. He pointed them to a letter. Are you with me? He pointed them to a temple. He points them to weaknesses in the flesh, because that's all that the law does. But Jesus pointed us to a finished work. Amen. Jesus points us to a personal relationship. His voice. Amen. To life, to light. And that's where we live from. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. That's the logic of God. So today you have the life and the light of God in you. You live from that position. And it's all about the intimate relationship. God is speaking to us all the time. Did you know that? We just don't hear Him. He speaks to us all the time. All the time He's speaking to us. And it's so beautiful. He wants you to hear His voice. He's so desired to spend time with you. He's so desired to show you things. You know what? We can pursue signs, wonders, and miracles. We can pursue all kinds of things in life. But at the end of the day, the most important is to have an intimate relationship with Him, abiding in Him and Him in you, that you have that relationship, and that healings and all those things, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, it's just an outflow of who you are. It's just an automatic flow. There's no force, there's no pressure to this. How many of you remember, I hope I'm not attacking something here this morning. But how many of you remember, intercession is important. People pray, I pray. But there was a time that we had intercession in the body of Christ. How many of you remember those days? Oh my goodness, we were praying nights over. I pray once for a night, for a whole night through. I think when 2 o'clock came, I begin to pray to Jesus, just help us the sun come up again. Because I had nothing to say anymore. And intercession, I realized that intercession becomes something that begins to control us. And it controls the church. And we could do nothing unless the intercessors heard from God first. So when I came into grace, how many of you know Jesus prayed nights through? I asked myself that question many times. How did you do that? Pray a night through. But the Aramaic word is slafa. It's a different word than what we think of prayer. Slafa means to capture your heart. It means to open your heart. And Jesus was the whole night, if he was spending time with God, he was opening his heart that the Father revealed stuff to him. That was his prayer life. Isn't that amazing? And then in the next day, he'd just go out and do what he saw in the night. I love that. Oh my. He's the example of how a son lives. We don't know how to live like that, but Paul's letters help us to live like that. Because Paul's letters reveal to us who we are, so that you can line up with that and say, I'm a son in the earth. Hallelujah. Where was I? I was with the intercessors. So the intercessors, when I came into grace, I stopped the intercessors. That was as good as killing a holy cow at that moment. I mean, I was in trouble. And the lady who was the lead intercessor, she says, Jesus says he's taking the lampstand and putting it up at the Full Gospels Church up the street. You're done. And you know what? Fear came on me. Because I didn't really grow in grace yet. Fear came on me because of control. See, that's what control does. Control brings you into fear. You are controlled because you are living in fear. God don't want you to be ever controlled by any system or any organization. I'm not talking about your job now. Tomorrow morning, don't go to your job and say, hey, that guy from Canada says, I just have to rest and do nothing. You're going to lose your job, believe me. But Jesus don't want us to be. He wants us to rest in what he has already done for us. Amen. Last year, just to show you, God always got a way out. Isn't that true? There's always a way out, man. Last year, I began to pick up trouble with the United States Border Control. Woof! How many of you have been there? I was 3 times in interrogation. Twice in custody. Hallelujah. I was on first name basis on the border. That says a lot, because the last time that I tried to cross the border, the guy called me out of the group. Peter, come here. Now you're in trouble. I'm like, whoa, I'm going to jail today. But anyway, it was just a matter of they say I was making money in the United States, and you know the story. But anyway, so here I am. The last time that I was there, he said to me, if you come back to this border again, you're going to be expedited for 5 years. Now I'm worrying, you know, how I'm going to do that. So I went back. The point is the United States Consulate in Toronto, they sent me an email and say, no, you don't need an R1 visa. The only thing that you need, it's up to the discretion of the border patrol agent. So there's 2 different standards. They say you need a visa. They say, no, you don't need one. Because the Canadians have a different privilege. So the last time I went in there, they say to me, if you come here again, you are in trouble. You know, I went back home and I say to the father, I say to him, something I don't understand. I really know that you called me into the States. I have to live in the States. My wife is there. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah, this is really difficult now for me. Do I miss you in this? In this whole process of what's going on yet. How many of you have got a word from God and it looks like everything is up against it? Is it only me? I believe in that. God speaks to us all the time. And I say to the Father, okay, do you want me to travel the world and preach? Do you want me to preach around in Canada? Do you want me to start a business? Do you want me to start to get a job? What is on your mind? And I pray. I really get serious now on my knees. Because this does not look good anymore. I've been turned around now 4 times at the border. It's like 2-3 months now. It's just trouble. So I'm saying, Father, you got to speak to me now. I need an answer. This is crunch time now. So next moment, he showed me this huge double doors with an American flag on, and the doors open like this, and there's a harvest from the threshold of this door, this big harvest. I said to the Father, are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me today? You know the trouble that I have on that border. They say, if I come here again, you know it. You were there with me. We're expedited, me and you. We're done. And the father said, no, you go. And the next morning, a friend called me and he said, I see you got green lights to go to the States. Isn't it interesting that when things look like there's no hope, then God said to you, no, there's hope, you're going to go. Do what I tell you to do. And I could have turned around and said, that is not from God. I could have said, that vision is not from God because of what the circumstances say to me. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I drive with my car. This is just how the Father speaks to me. I'm not really preaching today. I sometimes can holler. I'm just talking to you guys. But anyway, I drive with my car. I get a Tim Hortons coffee. You know what's Tim Hortons coffee? It's very good coffee. Well, Starbucks is better. Anyway, I must be careful what I say. So I drive with my car next to the river, drinking my coffee, talking to the Father. And the next moment, I saw an American flag, United States flag, in the middle of a cornfield. And I thought to myself, this farmer is going to be in trouble because you cannot hoist any flag from any country without the Canadian flag next to it. So I thought to myself, this guy's crazy. He's going to be in trouble. But I keep on driving. Turn around after about 10 kilometers or so, come back, the flag is gone. I said, Father, what happened here? He says, that was not a natural flag. That was me speaking to you. Whoa. Isn't that awesome? So I pack my stuff, clean the fridge out, nothing, everything that can get bad, get my stuff ready. Here I go to the border. Oh, my goodness. You must know what went through my stomach. It's like I was ready to have diarrhea. And here I'm going, you know, and I arrive at the border, the guy say, you are red flagged. He said, I see on the computer, you are red flagged. He says, what happened? I said, man, I'm preaching the gospel. They say I'm making money and I need a visa. And I explained to him what the American consulate in Toronto say. And he looked through my stuff and he gave me the passport. And he say, Reverend Swart, enjoy your trip to the United States. And there I go through. But you know what? It was to me a huge step of faith that when everything is up against me in life, don't settle for the storm. Don't settle for that situation. Don't settle what come against you. Settle for what God say to you. Can I tell you why? The whole kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom is not going to come by a lot of prayer. The kingdom is already in you. Prayer is basically based on revelation knowledge. God, show me who I am. Show me what I have. You know, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a matter of me and you understanding that we qualify for all the promises, that we qualify to be in the kingdom. We qualify for the whole inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just felt like this morning I need to encourage you guys. For some reason, the Father wants to encourage this church. Here's the thing is that people would think, well, we have heard this so many times in the grace circles. We heard so many times in the grace sermons about righteousness and about innocence. But you know what? That is the very thing. Innocence and righteousness is the very thing that kept your heart, that keep your heart. And I'm not talking about righteousness by works. I'm talking about righteousness by faith. I'm talking about the righteousness that Jesus has given to you as a free gift. You are right now as righteous as Jesus is. Amen. And righteousness, we all know righteousness. It means that I stand before God, justification, just as if I've never sinned. It means that I have peace with God. But you know what? To me, it has a deeper meaning. And the meaning for me, righteousness, also means just under the old covenant, if people could live up to the standard of the law, they have a right to be blessed. If they could live up to the standard of the law. But they couldn't. You agree with me on that? You, because of the finished work of Jesus, you have a right to be blessed. You have a right to function in the kingdom of God just as Jesus functioned in the kingdom. And some people think it's just, I'm righteous, it's nice, God got absolutely nothing against me. That's true. But that's the foundation where me and you live from in the kingdom. Amen? Let me give you a good illustration. In 1981, I was a very bad boy before I came to Jesus. We were in an assault. Me and some friends of mine got involved in a bar brawl. We beat people up. That's so bad. I don't do that anymore. Although I sometimes want to do some stuff. But I end up with 7 cases of assault against me. So when I want to immigrate to Canada, how many of you know this is a criminal record? I was luckily not locked up. I was close. It was close, but I came out with a fine, and but I had a criminal record on paper against me. So I apply to the government of South Africa for pardon. And every year I phone them, and they say, oh, we are in the process, we are in the process. And in 1999, the Lord said to me, you are going to Canada. You're going to go to North America. You're going to live there. I said, Father, I got a criminal record against me. I cannot go there. And something in my heart saying that, I know it's the Holy Spirit, contact them again. So I call them, and they say, oh, yes, sir, you have been pardoned to 1994. So I went down to the offices, get it, and guess what? I was pardoned by Nelson Mandela personally. And I didn't know him personally very well, but I met him in the jail once. I worked in correctional services. And I was pardoned by him personally. And that opened the door that I could go to United States, to Canada and United States. But what is interesting is that as long as you are guilty, your life is narrowed down to just where you are. But the moment that you are pardoned, the boundaries of your life begin to expand. Come on, people, I want you to think a little bit here this morning. I'm just talking to you. I'm not preaching, I'm just telling you. That's how important it is that me and you have to have it in our heart. Say heart. A belief, an understanding, a knowing that you are as innocent as Jesus is right now. Because once innocence hit your heart, the boundaries of your life. That's why the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. How do you guard your heart? You guard it against guilt and condemnation. Are you with me? Against sin conscience. That's what you guard your heart against. Where does it come from? From the law. The law is the knowledge of sin. It's the strength of sin. The law will always, always, always point at you and show you, you fall short. You are not good enough. If you are sitting here this morning and thinking, I'm not good enough, I'm falling short, guess what? Somewhere you've been influenced in your heart, you have fallen out of the reality of that grace that comes through Jesus, which says or which declares you or made you righteous and innocent. I love the word innocence. It's a powerful word. You know what? Even when it comes to flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, you can see Paul. He wrote to the Corinthians. And the Corinthians was a troubled church. There was really a lot of trouble going on there. Thank God I was not never a pastor of a church like that, although I don't know what people do in secret, but you got my drift here. When Paul never, ever judged them or point the finger at them, he says, I heard of these things that is going on there. But he said to them, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord. This is the simplicity of the gospel. That means you, that moment that you understand, that was the biggest moment in my life. When I realized that God got absolutely nothing against me, and I'm as innocent as Jesus is now. Because the boundaries of my life expanded in that moment. Just stay in your innocence. Why is it so important to stay righteous, to stay in that innocence that you freely receive in Jesus? Because then it means you are in the kingdom. And the kingdom is working for you. See, when we begin to work, God rests. When we rest, God begin to work. I love that. I rest in what He has already done for me. See, if God say, live up to a standard and I will bless you. If God say, if you make a mistake, I curse you. You all of you heard. I'm not judging, but someone said a while ago that God is angry with Cape Town. I said it to a guy down in Vereensdorp, close to Vereensdorp. If you ever pass by on your way to Calvinia on the Vereensdorp Road, there's a guy who have a place called Badgat or Baghdad. I think it's Baghdad. How many of you have been there? You have to visit that place. He makes the best food ever, this guy. But he's some character. He's really some character. He says, I'm not a believer. But when I read that on Facebook, I make my statement. And his statement was, if God is angry with Cape Town, then with us here in the Knersvlakte, in the Karoo, he says, man, we're done, and he used the M word. He says, we're done. There's no hope for us, man. We go down long before Cape Town. But we have such a wrong concept of God. This guy is actually, I can mention it, but he's the municipality of Nieuwoudtville actually got a case against him. Because I'm telling you stories this morning. His father and his grandfather dressed all the stones of the Dutch Reformed Church in that community. And it's an old monument actually today. And someone went and put up three huge crosses next to the church. And he says to me, it took the attention, he draw the attention off from the church. Which his grandfather and father dressed the stones for. So he said one night he had a couple of beers in and he was on his way home and he got the good idea and get his saw out and cut the one cross off with the saw and it fall in the church garden. He said he's used those crosses. He says, but someone saw him and now they got a case against him, the community. It's a very interesting guy you have to meet. I love people like that. So I begin to share with him the gospel there a little bit and say there's no condemnation and stuff like that. Amen. So, but here's what I want to say. If God have to demand from you to be holy before he bless you, then it means God is governed by sin. God is not governed by sin, man. He's governed by who he is and his love. Are you with me? And I have to give Bertie Brits the credit for that because he shared that with me. Are you with me? God is not governed by sin. He's not governed by how holy you are or how bad you are. Or he's not governed by that. He cannot. Because Jesus finished the work. Jesus killed the old man. Jesus became sin so that you can be righteous. This is simple stuff, but that is the springboard. This is the very power that kickstarts everything in your life. And I believe that Shane have probably preached this a lot here in this church, but I'm just enforcing this morning how important this is. There is not one day as a believer, as a child of God, that you wake up, that you are bad, fall short, or not good enough because of what Jesus has done. Just because you believe in Him. Isn't that beautiful? I love this stuff. God, see the healing in your heart begin. People, Jesus say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news, to heal the broken heart, to set the captive free. I honestly believe that the healing in people's hearts began when Jesus began to show them that He forgives, that He accepts, that He don't condemn, that He don't bring guilt on people. He didn't preach the law. Are you with me? Although he shows that he take the law to a higher standard. You all know that. I'm not going to preach on that. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus made it very clear. He said, you say, but I say. And he put it on. Why did he put the law on a higher standard? So that they cannot, because some of the Pharisees got away with stuff, so that they can see it is impossible to live up to a standard. The law was not given so that me and you can live by it. The law was given so that you can fall on your knees and call on a Savior. Amen? Righteousness under the old covenant actually is the axle on which a scale rests. That's what that word righteous in the old covenant means. That means you have to balance the scale out with your good works to come on equal level with God, with your own works. But righteousness in the new covenant is when two beings look into one another and find equal likeness. Amen? That's why me and you, we identify with Him. And when we identify with Him, we find equal likeness with Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? That's why 1 John 4:17 says, as He is, so we are in this world. Is Jesus sick now? No, He's not. As He is, so we are in this world. Is Jesus depressed now? No, He's not. As He is, so we are in this world. But when the storms and the troubles of this world come, we tend to fall into that reality. And that thing got a voice. Pressures of this life. And And South Africa, people say South Africa is in trouble and all kinds of things. Let me tell you, the whole world is in trouble. Really. There's trouble all over. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't. There's always trouble in this. It's just on different levels and different. And we all fear things in life. There's certain things that we treasure in our hearts concerning life. And these things are sometimes threatened. But I want to say to you this morning, this is actually the greatest opportunity for the message of grace. That we preach this thing that human beings in this world and the religious church and people who believe in Jesus begin to understand that they are the sons and daughters of God in this world. The creation is actually waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. And that's just coming by innocence, not by anything that we do. I don't really believe in blowing ram's horns and stuff like that. Let's get the air clean here. Blow the ram's horn. I don't believe in stuff like that. Are you with me? Yeah. I was preaching in a conference. Every time I make a statement, a woman stand up with a ram's horn and blow it. She's luckily for God that my pastor friend go and silence her. And then she didn't listen to him. They had to move her out of the meeting. That's weird. Blow a ram's horn. It's fine if you're in a different church and I make with the organ that sound. You know what churches I'm talking about. You know, I would love to be in a setup like that one day, but to blow a ram's horn. Then they ask her, why are you doing? Oh, I'm cleaning the air out for the pastor all the time. Whoop-de-doo. I'm as holy as Jesus is. Are you with me? And here we sit today. I love the body of Christ. I pastor, I plant churches in my life, and God released me to travel around. I love the body of Christ. I believe in the body of Christ. I believe it's the strongest force in this earth when we come together and we are like-minded and we understand the grace of God and the love of God. We're a powerful force. People need the body of Christ. You need the body. I need the body. Amen? Because this is how we minister to one another. And each one of us, there has been a grace given to you. You, all of us have substance. The substance is Christ in you. It doesn't matter how circumstances look in this life. The substance is Christ in us. You have substance now. Amen? This body got substance. And if the storms is coming and the trouble is coming in this life, guess what? Don't let other people's opinions or a storm or anything rob you from what God has really invested in you. Amen? Stay in that. Rest in that. How much time do I have? Am I done here? 10 minutes. You know what is interesting about Jesus? He died outside the camp. Let me read to you a quick verse just in Hebrews 13:9-13. I'm not going to read the whole passage here, but he says, I'm reading, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. So Jesus died outside the camp, but he was resurrected in the garden. Isn't that beautiful? The idea of going outside the camp is that he divorced you from the system. He didn't die inside the system. He died outside of the system. You're not part of that system. He's the lamb that took away the sin of the world, not covered the world of the sins of the world. Temporary. He took it away once for all outside the camp. And Jesus is risen from the dead in the garden. I love that. Oh, isn't it beautiful? He restored you back into the garden. See, I love to use this illustration when, what is the hardware stores here in Stellenbosch? Builders is here. In the United States, we have Home Depot. So Jesus actually, the Holy Spirit actually found you in Home Depot or in Builders. And you were looking around, walking around the shelves with your coveralls and your tool belt and your hard hat. And you were looking for a plan and a tool to fix your life. And the Holy Spirit basically stripped you of that clothes and that plans and everything, and he guide you into the garden center and introduce you to the tree of life. That's what they actually did. But the problem of us is find ourselves, we are back in the hardware store looking for another plant. We are eating from this tree, and it's a tree of life, and it's Jesus himself, and we enjoy that. Amen. So, let the healing begin. I was reading the other day, and I use this as a last verse. The system the whole world, I don't have time to explain it, but the whole world is under this system. If you're good, you're blessed. If you're bad, you're punished. Okay? You have to perform in life. In your work situation, university, school, anything, there is peer pressures, all kinds of things. We all strive to do better in life. Now, I don't have a problem that you work yourself up in your job situation and things. That's all good. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, we can't bring that principles and that way, that lifestyle into the kingdom of God. You can't mix the two. The worst is, it's better for you to be just under the law than to mix the two. Really. Because if you mix grace and law, you're confused, man. You're like a chameleon on a Smarty box. And, you know, you don't know what color you need to take on yet. You know, it's just a confusing lifestyle. That's why Babylon needs to come down, because Babylon meets confusion. You got Zion and you got Sinai, but Babylon, they talk in the book of Revelation about Babylon. Babylon is the worst because it's confusion. There's so many Christians today confused between law and grace. They mix the two and they're confused people, double-minded people. And it's the world system. But you know what? We are in a new covenant with better promises, with a mediator, Jesus Christ himself. You cannot even keep the covenant. He's keeping it for you. Come on, people. You cannot keep the covenant. It's impossible. Yes, you share in the inheritance with him. Hallelujah. But he keeps the covenant for us because we fail. It's only me that fails. So there's two guys in the back. God bless you, man. We're in the same camp. But we fail sometimes. And some of you got to relax. You're too hard on yourself. Relax. You're innocent. Here's the verse. I honestly believe that if you read Hebrews 4, he talk about a rest. He talk about the rest of Christ, that we rest in that. Amen. And then he say, for, in verse 12, I love it when he say, oh, let's read verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Then he say, for the word of God is living, powerful. That is, what word is that? That's the gospel, the good news. It got power. Amen. It's alive. And that word that he is talking about here is the finished work of Jesus that bring you into rest. That's the word that he talk about. But listen here what he say. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's so powerful that it can affect you right down into your nerve system. Isn't it awesome? That even into your nerve system, the gospel that declares rest is there. That means you don't fear anymore. That means healing is working in you. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you this last illustration. I maybe got 1 minute. One day I visit a friend of mine. Invite me for lunch. He worked a big company and they serve lunch there. And I was early sitting there waiting. And the chef was busy getting stuff ready. And here comes this big guy in and he said to the chef, can I have a sandwich or something to eat before 12? And the chef say no. He says, please, man, I'm really hungry. He says, just give me something to chew on. The chef said to me, no, the rule is 12 o'clock. Come back 12 o'clock. This guy was actually upset. He turned around, he walked away. 2 minutes later, I don't know how long, here comes this little boy walking in. Straight up to the fridge, open the fridge, begin to help him. The chef ran up to him. The chef said, hey, buddy, what can I help you with? You want a sandwich? You want an ice cream? You want some fruit? Come and have a look here. And I look at this. And the father said to me, that's how innocence works. It's in a different illustration. That other guy was under the rule and the regulation. He's not allowed. Are you with me? But this little boy, he walked in because of innocence. He have access to everything. Isn't it beautiful? Jesus declare you innocent. You have access to the whole inheritance in Christ Jesus. Isn't it beautiful? Don't be stuck where you are. Amen. Become a doctor, become an engineer, a plumber. It doesn't matter. Do those things in life. But hey, man, live this kingdom life to the fullest potential. It doesn't matter what occupation you have. Amen. I love that. Tonight, I'll show you the root why people don't. I will probably preach a little bit more. But anyway, I really want to help you tonight. I preached that sermon that I preached tonight in several places, and people were healed in the audience while I preached it. And I don't want to talk ahead, but I really, something, a revelation that came to me. I was healed of a disorder that I had in my body. So, Father, we just thank you today. We thank you for every person that sit in this place. I thank you that they are precious in your sight, that they have value, that you love them unconditionally, Father. I thank you that there is nothing that can separate them from your love. There's nothing that can separate them from your goodness. There's nothing that can separate them from the kingdom this morning because of your finished work. Because, Jesus, you are seated on the right hand of the Father. And we acknowledge this morning, we acknowledge that you are the King of Kings. We acknowledge that you are the Lord of Lords this morning. And we thank you that we find our likeness in you this morning. Therefore, we qualify. People who are sitting in this place, they qualify for healing. They qualify for direction. They qualify for provision just because of what you have done. And we praise you for that this morning, Father. We give you all glory. And God's people say, amen.